Odyssey fans, I'm Jesse, editor of Focus on the Family Clubhouse magazine.
And I'm Bob, producer of the Adventures in Odyssey Club. Welcome to the official Adventures in Odyssey podcast. You know, Jess, we talk a lot on this podcast about the ideas, the writing, the recording, and even the sound design of Adventures in Odyssey.
And that's good. That's what the podcast is for, Bob.
Yeah, but there are steps in the process that we rarely discuss. Like, how does the finished episode get from a sound designer's computer to our listeners' ears?
There's definitely a gap there. A big mysterious link in the chain that we haven't yet explored. And there are a lot of people who fill that space, unsung heroes in the creation of Odyssey.
Today we're going to try to fill that empty space, attach those missing links, and sing to those unsung.
Let's do it. And we'll start with the first person who touches an episode when a sound designer is finished with it, Rudy Hare. Welcome, Rudy.
Thanks.
Well, Rudy, listen, we've had you on the podcast before. Tell us your official title, because some of our listeners only know you as Firefighter Rudy.
I am the mastering engineer for Adventures in Odyssey and for radio theater.
And if you could change your title to something that reflects what you do every day, what would that be?
Sticking with the mastering theme, I would say jack of all trades, master of none.
Okay.
Although I have to know what I'm doing as
yes,
far
do.
As mastering goes. There are a lot of other duties as assigned that come my way. And sometimes it's a steep learning curve to figure those things out.
Okay. So you keep using this word mastering. What does that mean? What's the first thing you do after a sound designer finishes an episode?
So the sound designer will send me just a stereo track of their finished episode after it's through all of the checks of the team and everything. And then I master that to whatever format it's going to be going out in. There's a variety of different ways that listeners listen to the show. And so I create a master for each of those different types of listening.
So what are those different ways? Like MP3? I mean, I don't know many words there, but...
Right. Some of it does involve different file types, but a lot of it is mastering to certain levels, or there might be slightly different content in the different versions that go out. So those are the main things.
And level of quality. I know that we, now that we've launched the new club, there's another level of quality in the audio that we use that perhaps other media don't use.
That's correct.
They can't handle it, right?
That's right, yeah. We did increase the quality of the files that go to the club recently with the new launch of the new club. And that level of quality is even higher than CD quality, assuming you have a fast enough internet connection.
So you alluded to the CD version, the radio version. What are some others?
So the versions that I create masters of, there's the retail download version, the retail CD version, which is broken into three tracks. If you listen to the CD album, it's in three tracks. Then there's a mix minus music version, and that one's really just used in-house when we're pulling clips for spots or promos or bonus features or things like that. You don't want music in the clips.
Sure.
And
yeah.
So that, because usually whatever you're putting in has its own music under it, like a music bed for a spot. And so that makes it easier for us to pull clips for those kinds of things. And then there's a broadcast version. That one's edited to a specific time length for the radio stations. And then there's also the club version for those episodes that are exclusive to the club.
Wow.
Yeah, you mentioned the radio version and how sometimes you have to make some cuts to bring it into a specific time.
That's right.
Can you give us an example maybe of a recent show that you needed to trim some things out of?
Sure. The exact time is 25 minutes and 30 seconds. So that's the length of the episode plus all of the spots that will go into it that you wouldn't hear on the album, but you do hear if you listen to it on the radio. Those spots that are embedded are in multiples of 15 seconds. So it'll be a 15-second spot, 30-second spot, 45-second spot, or 60-second spot. So the show itself has to be a multiple of 15 seconds in length, less than 25, 30.
That's a lot to keep in mind.
Right. If I did all my math right, that means that I will be at times cutting as much as about 14 seconds from an episode. Content that you would hear on the retail version, but you won't hear on the broadcast version because of those time constraints. So if it's only a second short of a 15-second increment, sometimes I can stretch a music cue or something like that to make it work. But much more than a second, I actually do have to cut content. So what I usually look for is something that's redundant, doesn't take away from the storyline. Sometimes it'll Unfortunately, sometimes it's a joke because a lot of times jokes are one-off kinds of things and they don't necessarily push the storyline forward. They just make us laugh. And so those are often the first things to be cut. And then for those minor tweaks, once those more major cuts are made, the more minor tweaks I usually take care of with the music cues that go in and out at the end of segments. And a lot of those cuts I'll check with Nathan Hubler or the writer to be sure that my sensibilities for what I'm cutting are okay with them, because I really am cutting their story.
Yeah.
Well, Rudy, thanks for giving us some insight into all the different things that you do. And of course, club members know you as the face of the videos a lot of times. You and Zach, especially when you're doing your sports announcing, and you are a jack of all trades, and we are grateful for you lending your diverse talents to us.
Yeah, thanks, Bob. It is always a lot of fun, and happy to be called on for those kinds of things.
Okay, time to move down the chain to the next link. After Rudy creates the various versions of the show, they head off in several different directions. So, Jess, I guess our chain is really more like a trail map.
Yeah, I like that.
One of those paths heads toward radio stations, and the next step on the path is the satellite operations folks. And we have one of them with us today, Ray Morgan. Hey, Ray, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, and thanks for inviting me. It's really good to be here.
So, Ray, you've never been on the podcast before, so tell us your official title and what your job entails.
Oh, okay. I'm an audio operator for the Focus Satellite Network, and what we do is prepare and deliver all the Focus broadcasts throughout the satellite and FTP, and it goes throughout the United States and Canada and also international.
Hmm. Which, of course, for the club is very important, right? Because we've got people in over 100 different countries out there listening. So after Rudy sends an Odyssey show to you, what happens next?
Normally, I get it from Rudy in a digital format. It's per day. There's about three segments and a promo. And what I use is a specialized program that prepares the broadcast for the satellite, FTP, and also for the web.
Okay. So you talked about several ways that the radio stations receive episodes. And I understand there's a method that actually somebody here at Focus was involved in the design of.
Oh, yeah. That would be the AMBOSS system.
Hmm.
What it does is, in the old ways, we used to send audio out in real time. So it would take 28 and a half minutes to get a broadcast out.
Oh, wow.
But this breaks it down into data packets and sends it out individually so that each station has its own box. And then as the data packets arrive, they go onto a hard drive there. And then from there, they can transmit it into their automation system.
Gotcha.
Hmm. Your job sounds really technical and detailed. What is part of your job that listeners would never guess?
Well, we've got a lot of different formats, a large variety, and we also have multiple platforms that we provide for. For FTP, we provide an MP2, which is for stations to download off the servers. For Ambassador, for those files,
yeah,
we upload to Ambassador, who in turn sends it up to the satellite and back down to the radio stations, and that's a different format. And then also, we put MP3s out on one place, because we provide audio for that, too.
Yeah.
So there's just so many different formats and platforms.
Well, thanks so much for being with us, Ray. It's great to understand a little bit better some of the other hands that touched this project.
Oh, well, thank you. It's been nice being here.
So the SatOps team sends the shows to the radio stations and, as we heard, the website. But who actually looks for those radio stations and finds an opening to put Odyssey on the air? Well, that's the responsibility of Ambassador Advertising, who Ray mentioned, and Brian Krause here at Focus. So let's talk to Brian about how all of that works. Welcome, Brian.
Hey, it's good to be here. Thanks for having me on the podcast.
Brian, you're new to the podcast, too, but you're not new to Focus. Tell us your official title and then tell us what your typical day is like here.
Yeah, my official title is the manager of media syndication.
And your typical day?
Typical, well, in media, there's really no typical day. It varies quite often about what happens. One of the things you might find interesting, so we have a database of all the radio stations that air Adventures in Odyssey. Well, someone's got to update that database.
Hmm.
And so that kind of falls on
is
me.
Is it changing very often?
It changes not very often, but a couple times a year where we might add a radio station or even if they change the time that they release the broadcast. We have to update that data because when our listeners call us, we keep record of what radio station those listeners listen in on.
All right.
So that's kind of one of the things that happen.
Let's give me some stats, because again, that's what kids want to know is like, how many stations air Adventures in Odyssey? How many listeners do you think we have on the radio? And how many countries, right? How big is Odyssey worldwide?
Yeah, well, you know, as we know with the Adventures in Odyssey Club, I mean, it is worldwide.
Yeah.
So it's really hard to nail down how many countries we're in, because in a number of countries may have a radio signal that crosses borders.
Oh, true.
From one country to the next. So, so it's really hard to kind of nail down how many countries we're in, but I can give you some stats on how many radio stations we're on.
Okay.
So we actually run two separate schedules for Adventures in Odyssey. We have our weekday schedule, Monday through Friday, and then we have our weekend schedule.
Mm-hmm.
A station might air the program on a Saturday or a Sunday. So let's see what we've got here. So the stations that air us on Monday through Friday, we have 1,143 radio stations that air Adventures in Odyssey
around
Monday
the
through
world.
Friday. That's just the United States.
Oh, just the US.
Oh, okay.
All right. Yeah, just the United States. And then for stations that air us on the weekend, we are at 1,611 radio stations. So that's roughly comes out to about 300,000 listeners each week.
Wow.
That's pretty great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, you do work with an organization called Ambassador.
Correct, yes.
And we alluded to that. Tell us what Ambassador is all about.
Yeah, so Ambassador is really our representative to radio stations. So if a radio station wants to air the Adventures in Odyssey program, that is who they would contact first.
Hmm. You talked about there not being any kind of typical days, right? Things go wrong, things come up. So what's a crisis related to Odyssey that you've had to deal with?
So there are some radio stations that, you know, have a kind of a brand, you know, like Safe for the Whole Family or Safe for the Little Ears. And, you know, there are sometimes in the Adventures in Odyssey program where we have a disclaimer.
Yeah,
Chris might come on and say, hey, this, make sure your parents are, you know, in the room listening while you're here. You know, something to that effect.
Right.
So we had a radio station come to us a number of months ago with that concern that there was some content in one of the Odyssey shows coming up. And it was several episodes. So it was part of a series. And we couldn't just replace one of the episodes. So we had to replace the entire series on this radio station. So it was a matter of, I think, 6 episodes.
Okay.
So I came down to Nathan Hubler and said, hey, this is what's going on. We worked with Rudy, and Rudy said, hey, we've got these episodes we can use. So really, the listeners to that radio station would never know.
Had no idea.
Yeah. Had no idea.
Yeah.
That it happened. So that's one of the crises. You know, another funny crisis we had to deal with recently, too. So there's a radio station that actually aired the same 24-hour programming for 39 days in a row.
Oh.
Someone ended up calling us here at Focus to say, hey, my local radio station has been playing your same broadcast for 39 days, and no one caught it. Some of these radio stations run on automation.
Oh, yeah.
Mm. And, you know,
got caught in a loop.
Yeah, we're all running busy lives, you know, and all of a sudden a technical glitch and 39 days go by.
Hopefully it was a really good episode.
Yeah, exactly. Because the kids probably memorized that one.
Yeah, they probably do have it memorized by now.
Brian, I know you're a guy who loves a good story. can you tell us maybe any impact story you've heard about Odyssey?
You know, one that really comes to mind is when, you know, folks come here to Focus on the Family, to our campus, and are able to kind of see what goes on behind the scenes. One story I'm thinking of, I got a call from a gentleman at one of the radio stations we work with that said his niece and her kids were coming out here to visit us here in Colorado Springs. The reason why, their dad had just passed away from cancer. And of all the places they could have gone, they decided to come to Colorado Springs to come to Wits End because it was a place that they recognized, a place for comfort for them, and it was a place where they could remember their dad. So it really impacted me because then we got an opportunity to kind of show them around, get them behind the scenes a little bit, get them into kids' radio, put their own voices in their own Adventures in Odyssey. And we even gave him a little sneak peek into one of the episodes, one of the, I think Rudy was working on, and kind of told him a little bit, gave him a little inside scoop.
Well, we always like to take good care of our fans when they stop by, and I'm glad to know that that your area is willing to do that as well. It's great.
Yeah. I really love it. And I've been here now almost in May. It'll be about 20 years, so I'm very blessed.
Well, thanks for what you do, and
thank you.
Thanks for being part of the podcast
today.
Thank you.
It's great to be on. Thanks for having me.
Now, let's backtrack on our trail a little bit. Back to Rudy Hare. So he creates a version that goes to the radio stations, but he also creates a version that ends up as a download. That's another path. And who walks that trail to get the show from Rudy to those download stores? That would be our next guest, Steve Christakis. Steve, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, thanks. Glad to be here.
Steve, you've worn a lot of different hats here at Focus. So tell us some of the jobs you've done and what your role involves these days.
Yeah, actually, last month, I had my 26th anniversary here at Focus on the Family.
Congratulations.
Awesome.
And thank you. And yes, I have worn many hats during those years. And I actually started out in what used to be our correspondence department. So I'm going to date myself here, but I actually started out by answering letters for the ministry back when letter writing was actually a thing.
I did the same.
And then, okay, there you go. And then, as time went on, I started answering email and phone calls and that kind of thing. And then our broadcasting department hired me to be their web editor, which was what they called it back then. And that was my transition into the world of web. And so ever since then, I've been serving in the area of web and digital experience here at Focus for all the rest of those years that I've been here.
Yeah. Now, you're the connection, Steve, between Focus on the Family and download platforms like iTunes and Amazon and even our own store. After Rudy sends you an Odyssey episode or album, what happens next for downloads?
Well, so we have a third-party company that we work with that takes the files that Rudy provides me with. They are in a WAV file form. We take them to this company. They turn those WAV files into MP3s, and then they actually host those files on their website. And they're actually the party, the third party that distributes them out to Amazon and iTunes. So my part is basically to upload all the audio files and the album artwork and to this website. And I also have to submit to them a very detailed spreadsheet that has all the information about the album and each track.
So there are a lot of ways to listen to audio these days. I mean, even vinyl records are back. So how do you personally listen to entertainment when you're at home or driving or just hanging out?
Well, I mainly listen to my phone, like a lot of people. I usually have YouTube going in my ears.
I think we take it for granted, no matter what it is we enjoy listening to, that just sort of pops up. It's like elves bring it or drones drop it by, right?
Yeah.
But there are so many different steps of the process, and we are grateful that you're there standing in the gap and helping us out with the ones that you handle.
Yeah, thanks. Glad to be a part of it.
Okay, we've talked about radio, downloads, and the web. But many of our listeners hear the show on compact disc. The process for creating CDs is very different. And to hear about that corner of the Odyssey world map, let's talk to Debbie Smith. Welcome, Debbie.
Thank you.
Debbie, you've been on the podcast before, but it has been a while. Remind the listeners of your role with Adventures in Odyssey.
I am the Senior Marketing Director responsible for Adventures in Odyssey, which means I oversee our marketing campaigns as well as social media.
And we're in a lot of meetings together.
We are in a lot of meetings, yes.
So let's talk about the process of creating CDs. Though we have a lot of ways to listen, the CD package is still the defining one in terms of artwork. So how do we decide what to put on the cover of those CDs?
Well, that's my favorite part of the process. So we get together as a team and we hear about what's going to be on the album, what the episodes are about. Now, the cover illustration is so important because it's really where you're going to grab the audience, get their attention, have that compelling visual that's going to help them to understand what's inside that package and what's in store for them when they step into those episodes and that part of the Odyssey world.
And every CD has inserts, I guess you could say. How are those created and what can we look forward to in future albums?
Well, there's nothing more fun than that sort of that unboxing experience, that opening up something you've just bought and seeing what's inside. So to make it even more fun, we decided to shift our internal or the insert that we put inside to a collectible piece.
Oh, cool.
So yeah, we came up with some really unique ideas. The first series that started with album 71, A Slippery Slope, we created a series of inserts that are based on well-known artwork. One is based on a very famous album cover, and the other two are based on the look of a very well-known artist.
Mm. Pop art, yeah.
Pop art, mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. And what we did with those images is we adjusted them, we edited them, we created them to step into the world of Odyssey so that it features our characters and it just brings them to life in a very unique way. And it's unique content that you're only going to get if you purchase the CD.
Yeah. And we have some people who just love to collect those CDs. I know it takes a lot of shelf space these days, especially with all the digital options available.
But, absolutely.
I have them all on my shelf.
Me too.
I love them.
Yeah.
And we're really excited. Starting with album 74, we have a brand new series for our inserts where we are illustrating key rooms and places that have never been seen before.
So, Debbie, what have you found to be the hardest part of the graphic design process, the most challenging?
Timing. Timing is everything, and it is the most challenging in any production process because of the requirements for the vendors who are producing key elements of the packaging, et cetera. And oftentimes, we're working up against very tight deadlines where our creative team is just getting the episodes finalized and ready to go, and we have to have final copy and descriptions for the packaging itself. So timing is always really challenging.
And is
for
that
us.
Driven by the ultimate date that we want that to be available to people, then we kind of back schedule it from there?
Absolutely, Bob. Yeah, it has to do with that. And timelines at production houses are always expanding capacity that they have. And so it takes a little more time than we'd like.
Has that been a challenge? I know COVID, there are a lot of different supply chain issues. And I know that, Jesse, even with Clubhouse Magazine, you guys have run into paper problems.
Yeah.
Has that been a challenge?
Yes. Yes, it has been a challenge. We're seeing that kind of smoothing out now over time. But yes, absolutely.
Debbie, thanks for being on with us today and keep up the good work.
My pleasure, Bob and Jesse. Great to be with you.
That's a lot of people involved in getting Odyssey to our listeners. And we haven't even talked about others involved in the club, the website, marketing, the people at Tyndale.
Now, suffice it to say that there's a big team of talented and dedicated people who work to get every episode to every listener.
And they've all got moms, and they're listening to this podcast.
And they're all special.
No matter how you listen to Odyssey, everyone involved agrees that you are the most important part of the process. Where would the show be without our listeners?
Nowhere. Our path would be a dead end. But there's another person who works hard to get every story to club members, you, Bob. So what's this month's club adventure about?
Well, since we're talking about various technologies, it seems appropriate that our latest club exclusive is an episode about virtual reality. Here's a preview.
This month on the Adventures in Odyssey Club, Molly's plans for video game victory go awry.
So you know how the principal gave Allison and me permission to compete in the parent-child video game competition? Mm-hmm. Allison's grandmother is sick, so Allison can't do it.
So she turns to the one person who can help.
I'm not sure I'm the best choice for this.
I really want to do this, Gramps.
But can she get Detective Pullhouse ready for the big competition? This month on the Adventures in Odyssey Club.
That's all for this edition of the official Adventures in Odyssey podcast, a presentation of Focus on the Family. Visit us online for a list of all the ways you can hear our show. That's at adventuresinodyssey.com/podcast.
Or you can always call us at 1-800-A-FAMILY. I'm Bob.
And I'm Jesse, reminding you that with God in your life, every day's an adventure.
It's time to level up. Give your kids a safe, faith-focused, and biblically-based community, and so much more. Join the Adventures in Odyssey Club. Club members get on-demand access to the exciting Adventures in Odyssey series, including more than 900 episodes. With faith-building activities, parental controls, and a safe online community, the Adventures in Odyssey Club could be your best adventure yet. Learn more and start your free trial at adventuresinodyssey.com/radio.